Live from the backstretch at historic Saratoga Racecourse, this is Saturdays at the Spa with Brian Natto. Saturdays at the Spa is brought to you by CapitalOTBBet.com, New York's premier wagering site. CapitalOTBBet.com. Sign up today. The new Capital Mobile app. Wager anywhere, anytime. Download it free from the iTunes Store or Google Play. And Pinnell's Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, just minutes from the track.
Good morning and welcome to Saturdays at the Spa. Brian Natto with you. Third Saturday, but second show, as we lost last Saturday due to some crazy heat. We're a little cooler this Saturday. We got some wild rain out of the way. A monster day here at the track. Jim Dandy, Vanderbilt. We get to see Mattoli. We got a Travers prep. We've got a Bowling Green that is Anthony Mormino and I were talking just a little while ago. 13 horses. We've got Brad Cox here in a second. He's got Arklow. He's got a lot of other big horses. So Bowling Green will get us to the Sword Dancer on Travers Day. We're also going to have Mark Hennig stop by in a little bit. He's got Strike Power and the Vanderbilt taking on the mountain that is Mattoli. And as well, Danny Gargan's going to stop by. Tax in a compact, but a very good field of six in the Jim Dandy, as I mentioned, getting everyone hopefully to the Travers. They ran the Curlin yesterday, a good race that Chad won. Kieran had a nice horse run second and endorsed. So a lot going on, as you would figure, at Saratoga. And I'm going to bring in my first guest. Brad Cox joins me. Brad, good to have you back on Saturdays at the Spa. You were here last year with soon-to-be champion Monomoy Girl, and we're going to talk Arklow, but as I said to Anthony Mormino up there, a lot of horses to talk about. It's a good thing to be Brad Cox right now.
Yeah, we've had a good summer. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, yeah, it's been a good summer, spring, and it's things are going really well, and you know, looking forward to building towards Saratoga and having a big meet here.
Yeah, we talked off the air. I said, what exactly are you doing? I mean, you're with so many horses in your barn, and Ellis now has, you know, ramped up their purses in operation. You talked a little bit. You won a grade three race at Arlington. I had texted you a couple of weeks ago. I was wondering if you were at Hoosier. What's the schedule like? I mean, you bopping around, frequent flying miles are building up?
Yeah, absolutely. This time of year with Saratoga and obviously Churchill's home base, but, you know, between Ellis Park and, you know, jump around. We're running horses Mountaineer, Del Mar, Saratoga, Ellis Park all next weekend, so we're kind of everywhere. I'll be here at Saratoga again next weekend, but yeah, it's a busy time of year.
Where do you actually have divisions as opposed to shipping in and out? Obviously, division here and at Ellis, anywhere else?
Yeah, for just Churchill, Ellis, Indiana, and here in New York.
So when you need to be here, you're kind of here. Otherwise, home base is Churchill.
Yeah, well, you know, next week, like I said, I'll be here for Covfefe in the test, mm-hmm. and then, you know, be here for the sales.
Okay.
So I'll spend some time, probably 7 to 10 days here, starting next week.
We're going to talk about some very fast fillies that you have in the barn, but Arklow is front and center today in the Bowling Green, and Anthony Mormino and I talked about it on the handicappers report. I'm sure you look at these races on paper. Mm-hmm. You know how to handicap a race. Just you see this field. I don't necessarily know if you looked at the noms or what you were expecting. I mean, 13 in here, and we weren't really joking. I think there's two horses that can't win, and there's 11 that can. I mean, it is a tough race.
It's a wide open race. I think it's going to come down to trip. I mean, lots of time to case in a grass race, but Mon 3/8 on the turf. I think, you know, it's going to come down to who gets a good trip, ground saving trip, and who can, you know, get a good split turning for home and kick on. Our horse is doing extremely well. He breezed fantastic last week at Churchill. We were actually pointing for the Arlington Million.
Okay.
And, you know, that's going to be a tall task. And we thought, you know, in order to get his picture taken and get a win under his belt this year, we thought the Bowling Green made a little more sense mm-hmm. right now. So we shipped him up the other day. He's responded well. He's trained great here just a few days over the main track, and what do you think he's going to be set up for a big effort today?
He's been a good horse to have in the barn. I mean, mm-hmm, graded yeah. stakes winner at 3, 4, and 5, kind of came on the scene. Was mm-hmm. a Derby Day, I believe, he won
yep.
his first stakes in the 3-year-old stakes in last year. But I think I know he hasn't won his last two races, but you know, his game seems to be really elevating with the Man of War. We'll bring that up here in the Man of War when he just fell short from way out of it. We're going to pick it up, I believe, entering, well, here we go here, Huntinghorn way loose on the lead. You guys, frantic rally just to miss to Channelmaker. Big stretch run here.
Yeah, this was a big effort. This was really his first race off the layoff this year. I mean, it's the race at Keeneland, obviously. There was a mishap at the gate, but, you know, he's come up a little short here. Channelmaker ran a big race, and, you know, obviously he's back in the race today, and he's performed well in this race before. So, you know, he's probably the horse to beat, but I think with, you know, a good trip and some luck, we can get there.
Yeah, and you're drawn inside. I think that's never a bad thing, going three turns here at Saratoga. You run next in the Belmont Gold Cup at 2 miles, which is, you know, for a lot of horses, a complete unknown. I thought it was noteworthy. Obviously, they're going a lot slower that day, but we're going to pick that one up here. And here you are in between horses, a lot closer going 2 miles.
Yeah, we expected to be a little closer going 2 miles. I mean, obviously, a slower pace. I mean, as you can see, a mile and a quarter and nearly 2:10-ish. So, this was a big effort again. Once again, kind of the unknown, 2 miles. I mean, it's the furthest I've ever run a horse. And this horse on the outside, that Florent said he didn't really see, the horse didn't see that horse coming. He said, you know, he galloped out well that day. And, you know, I kind of thought after this race we could do whatever we wanted. Obviously, mm-hmm. We knew we were going to shorten back up. There was no other 2 mile races. So kind of thought this set us up for, you know, whatever we wanted to do, whether it was the Bowling Green or the Arlington Million. Obviously, we landed here in the Bowling Green today. And, you know, our short-term goal is going to be the this race and then probably the race at Kentucky Downs.
Okay. And you got run down by a European horse that had plenty of proven form that day. I mentioned the rail draw. It's a good spot to be. Is the ideal trip for this horse maybe not as far back in the Manhattan? Man of War, excuse me, but maybe not as close in the Belmont Gold Cup, somewhere in between?
Exactly, there's no doubt. I mean, we don't expect him to be that far off like he was in the Man of War, and probably not that close. This horse has kind of thrown us a couple curveballs a couple times. We thought he'd be a little closer to some pace, especially Kentucky Downs last year, looking at that race. We thought he'd be up close, and he was nowhere that day. He ended up winning the race. So, you know, you really never really know what he's going to do when he comes out. And it's up to Florent, even though he has a lot of experience on him. He can kind of break in a tangle sometimes. But we'd like for him to be laying somewhat mid-pack today.
We'll completely shift gears now, and we'll go from long on the turf to, I was going to say, very fast on the dirt, but break even. You ran up here in the Coronation Cup. On the turf, a lot of different options, 6 for 6. I believe has never been behind a horse. We're going to first show the 8 bells here on Derby Day, and really her kind of coming out performance. I know, you know, she was a filly that had been talked about. This was a devastating run here.
Yeah, big effort here. She caught a track that she just loved, skipped right over top of. I think it helped her get to 7/8 for sure, and she was just gone. Spoke extremely sharp that day and was just never really... I mean, honestly, when I saw the half in 44, I thought, well, with Churchill's long stretch, maybe, you know, they could come get her, but she just coasted around the turn, and she was gone. Big effort, and she's done nothing wrong. I mean, she's a perfect 6 for 6 and an extremely nice filly.
We'll bring up the Coronation Cup here. You mentioned 7/8. Is it not her ideal trip? Because I know you have, and here she is on the turf on the lead. I know you have, we'll talk about Kofefa in a little bit. You have a horse for the test next week. She's now looking at the Prioress?
Yeah, that's the plan moving forward. Yeah, I always thought this filly could run on the turf. I mean, obviously she showed that up here a couple weekends ago, opening weekend. But, you know, I just kind of thought with 7/8, as much speed is going to be in the test, thought it might be a little bit of a reach. And if we, you know, and like I said, we use that race here as a prep for the Prioress, and I think it may suit her a little better as opposed to the 7/8 here at Saratoga.
And I know, you know, there's not a lot of lucrative 3-year-old filly grass stakes, but I mean, if nothing else, you tried it now, you know you can do it. It's got to give you options down the road as well.
It gives us options and confidence, and like you said, Greer Philly sprints on the turf. There's not a lot of options, but, you know, there's nothing saying this fall we won't tackle the mm-hmm. older horses, you know, maybe three quarters on the dirt or even, you know, sprinting on the turf.
Is there pressure to, you know, she's 6 for 6 now. Everybody wants to keep it going. Is there added pressure to keep a, you know, when you're 2 for 2, you're 3 for 3, that's one thing. You're up to 6 now. I mean, you're starting to get a, you know, that's a streak.
Yeah, it's a nice streak. It's the first one I've ever had to be 6 for 6. And yeah. I think Richard Klein said the same thing. He's never had one 6 for 6. Not many people have. But I don't think it's pressure, no. If she's doing well and we're in a race where we feel like we're competitive, yeah. one of the fastest horse, I mean, look, no, there's, we go over there and the pressure is on, I guess, to win, but, right. you know, the streak, it is what it is, and, you know, the main thing is just keeping her happy and healthy and, you know, keeping races where we can be competitive.
We can't have you on up here without talking about clearly the best horse in your barn, the best horse you've ever had, the champion Monomoy Girl. We had you up here last year, and she was awesome up here. We're going to show footage of her winning up here just recently back into the barn, right? Hasn't had an official workout yet, but hasn't run. Here she is winning up here. Hasn't run since the Breeders' Cup. Give a little update where she's at. You know, the layoff has been extended, but not only where she's at, how she's doing, but maybe a little bit about her. Well, it's going to be an abbreviated campaign, you know?
Yeah, no, she's been back with us about 2 weeks at Churchill. She's moving extremely well. Very happy with how she's training. She seems happy. Mm-hmm. She's very, you know, confident, and she looks amazing right now. Her weights looks great. She's, I mean, couldn't be doing any better. We have, you know, probably gallop her another couple weeks and then start putting some speed mm-hmm. works into her, and, you know, we'll see. I don't have anything marked as far as races go right now. I get asked that a lot,
right.
And you know, in fairness to her, she'll let us know when she's ready. She always has, and we feel like we got a pretty good line on her, and we'll take our time with her.
Cool.
Like you said, it's going to be an abbreviated campaign,
sure.
and these guys that own her are great. It's a great partnership. They're all on the same page, and you know, I'm sure the plans to race her throughout 2020. So you know, this second half of the year, hopefully she gets a couple starts in, we'll go from there.
Let's bring up the Breeders' Cup while we talk. Well, that's exciting in and of itself that she could be back at 5. I would think you said, you know, let her tell you when she's ready. I would think, though, the plan is to get back to the distaff. If in the perfect world.
Well, absolutely. And you know, right now it'd probably be just one start into the Breeders' Cup. But you know, that's going to be hard to do,
mm-hmm.
and there's no doubt about it. And you know, as far as I know, they run the Breeders' Cup in 2020, and
right.
and you know, if she's around and she's doing well, we could be a part of that one as well. So that's the plan.
At the risk of putting you on the spot, would you run her off works in the Breeders' Cup if you couldn't get a race into her? Not that you have to answer that.
I'm not going to answer that.
Okay. I like that. That's fair. That's a tall ask. Hopefully that's also insignificant when the time comes. If nothing else, it's great to see her back at the barn. You know how this sport works. We see these kinds of horses whisked away mm-hmm. far too quick. So I think it's a testament to your program that she's doing this good, and certainly, as you alluded to, your owners as well. One more before we let you go. We talked a little bit about Kofef. We're going to bring up the Miss Preakness, which was phenomenal when she went 7 and change.
Mm-hmm.
And I mentioned with Break Even a coming out party, but this was an awesome effort. Anything like that you could have expected? I mean, freakish performance.
Well, I've always thought this was a really, really good filly. I mean, for her to break her maiden last fall to send her up for the Frisette, I mean, I thought she would be tough in the Frisette.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, maybe a mile.
Didn't work out that
Yeah,
day.
It didn't work out. She came out of the race with a minor setback. We give her plenty of time, and she's a good filly. Her last two works at Churchill have been phenomenal, and she's as good as she can get right now. She was 111-1 going 3/4 2 weeks, or last weekend at Churchill, and 113-3. Yesterday at Churchill, she's doing as well as she can do. Put her on the plane on Tuesday, ship her up here to Saratoga, and we're excited about her.
She's
doing really well.
Ran her in the Roxalena to older horses. Mia Mischief loves Churchill Downs. Was that as much a get her to this race means to an end?
It was. She had three works
post-Miss Preakness, and none of them were anything fancy, just some halves and 49, some mild gallop outs. And, you know, we found out later on that Mia Mischief was going in the race, mm-hmm. and, you know, just kind of
thought. Didn't really expect to see her in a
Yeah, we didn't.
She's, on Derby Day.
She's an awesome filly, and we didn't think we'd have to match up with her. And our plan was to use that race as a prep for the test. So that's what we did. She ran well. I thought she kind of was a little bit victim of the post that day. We're kind of hoping we'd draw a little further to the outside in the test, because we expect there to be some speed in there as well. So we'll see. But she's doing as well as she can do, and I'm expecting her to run big next weekend.
We always think of two-year-olds at Saratoga. I know Ellis has got a good program now as well, and you can run two turns there too. Any names we should remember? Anybody up here that you're looking forward to unveiling?
We have a filly Monday at Ellis. They have a special day of racing because they canceled a couple days last week. But we have a filly named Portrait. She's actually by Tapizar, oddly enough, for Ellen J. Foxwood. Very, very talented filly. We think a lot of her. We're going to start her on the grass going long. Not because of we think she wants the grass. It's more to do with the distance.
Okay.
But she's a nice filly. We think she's got a lot of talent. And she's
any
a good filly.
One up here we should.
Got some New York breds that
you said you have a lot.
Yeah, we have several New York breds I think that are getting close that hopefully could make a start, maybe in book three.
Okay,
so
good to
we'll
know.
See what happens.
Brad Cox, first of all, you mentioned you've been Pinnell's. We've got a $100 gift certificate for you.
Thank you.
Pinnell's great sponsor here at OTB, great Italian food right across the way here. Brad Cox is set up for a loaded summer. Here at Saratoga and fall as well. We hope, Brad, it's always a pleasure to
Thanks,
have
Brian.
You. Thanks for making the time.
Thank you.
Good luck today. Good luck next week as well. We'll see him again up here very soon in the Graded Stakes Rakes. It's going to bring us to our first break here on Saturdays at the Spa. Brad Cox is down. When we come back, Mark Henick's going to join us with Strike Power in the Vanderbilt. Stay tuned.
Where's the best place to find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you where's the best sports bar in the Capital Region, tell them Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Birdstone is an outside front. They're coming down to the finish. Can Smarty Jones hold on? Here comes Birdstone. Birdstone surges past. Birdstone wins the Belmont Stakes.
But here comes High Chaparral. High Chaparral, the defending champ, to take it to Bob Bob. These two are travels head to head with Joe Hart bearing down on them. It's going to be a three-horse photo finish in the turn. Here's the wire. Photo finish.
Now it's a global series. The best racers from all over the world, the best trainers, the best jockeys.
You can get a free entry into the Breeders' Cup, and everybody wants to run in a Breeders' Cup race.
You get your travel expenses paid for the Breeders' Cup.
Automatic berth takes a lot of pressure off.
If we're considering two different races, and one was a winning you're in and one was not, that would be the tiebreaker.
It's probably the best thing that's happened to racing in the last 10 years.
Breeders' Cup Challenge, win, and you're in.
Welcome back to Saturdays at the Spa. Brian Natto with you. A big thanks to Brad Cox for stopping by. He's got Arklow today, and he's just loaded with the fast three-year-old filly ranks. Break even. Kofef is going to run in the test next week, and I'm happy to be joined by my next guest, Mark Henick, who's got a really fast four-year-old that's climbing the mountain today in Strike Power, taking on the absolutely streaking Matoli. I think probably the best dirt horse in the country right now. Mark, I appreciate you stopping by on a busy Saturday, and definitely in with a chance. I'm sure Strike Power back rolling for you.
Yeah, I mean, we realize we're biting off a big chunk today facing Matoli and some of those others. Imperial Hint, Friends Fire, we've got a lot of respect for all of those. I think it's a step up in class for us, but, you know, he's come back strong this year as a four-year-old, and you know, we're kind of looking forward to it. I think it's interesting to note he's never run six furlongs in his life. So, you know, I think that the cutback from 6.5 to 6 will help him too.
we're going to first show a really big second in the Fountain of Youth last year, and this is kind of, just as maybe like a guy from on the outside, a good and bad thing when you have a horse like this running second in the Fountain of Youth, as good a, you know, early mid-season Derby prep as there is. It kind of does it force your hand a little bit as a trainer? You got to move on, right?
It did. I mean, we went into the Florida Derby realistic, though. You know, Mr. Adam was great. He called, and we were discussing the Fountain of Youth. You know, we were proud of his effort that day, and you know, we thought that in terms of the we're talking about strike power.
Yes.
Right? Okay.
Yes.
And so, you know, that. Coming back in the Florida Derby was a natural thing to do because he had run well against Promises Fulfilled that day. But then, you know, it was he was also realistic. He said to us, myself and Ernie Redemosa, we were talking, and Mr. Adams said, you know, I think he almost has to win the Florida Derby or run
a
good second.
Right.
Because, you know, I think we've got to be realistic about possible distance limitations.
That Bourbon War, we'll talk about him in a second. Didn't run that well in the Florida Derby. I think it's a, you know, you try the turf in the Better Talk Now, didn't fire then, you give them time off. I think it's a testament to your team and the horse itself, because as you know, sometimes when you get beat up like that, they don't always come back as strong, and he looks better than ever this year.
Yeah, the Florida Derby, you know, I mean, they went, I think they went faster fractions than they might go today.
Right.
But
we're going to talk about that too.
But he, you know, that was just a ridiculous pace, and you know, they both the horses caved that day.
Yeah.
And you know, I think it. After that, he was developing a bit of a breathing issue, and you know, I don't know if the stress of that day
right.
set it off. Sometimes you look back and you wonder if there wasn't one incident that set it off. But mm-hmm. you know, we tried him in the Better Talk Now because he was continuing to breathe well. And, you know, even though we've noticed he was starting to develop some paralysis, we felt like, you know, it was, you know, just keep moving forward until it got to a point where we could address it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he in the Better Talk Now, I mean, he did the same thing, but Johnny said it was even worse. You know, he just was having trouble getting his air. At that point, we just shut it down mm-hmm. and did the throat surgery on him. And it is a credit to him that
yeah.
he's come back. And you know, I was so happy when he won that race at Gulfstream because, you know, I felt bad for the horse last year,
sure.
especially not, you know, to me, he's got so much talent, and to not be able to show it
right.
was kind of
right.
depressing.
The Gulfstream return, we're going to bring it up here, a little excitement, I would think, to get this horse back in the barn, but also maybe trepidation as well. Hadn't run in a long
Absolutely.
Time, hadn't fired a big race in a long time.
And yeah, definitely trepidation, and you know, you worry how much of it he remembers, you
sure.
know, not getting his air, and you have to get in a race time situation to see. He was breezing well in the mornings. All indications were that everything was okay, but, you know, you still want to see it.
Right.
And, you know, he came out strong this year. And then, you know, kind of had the same feeling going into the True North.
Yeah.
You know, now he's stepping up against real horses, and he might be under pressure. And he got an acid test with Recruiting Ready, breathing down his
sure.
neck the whole way. And he responded very gamely that day. So I think, fortunately, those things are behind us.
Well, you teed it up nicely. We're going to bring up the True North. And you know, for my money, Catalina Cruiser is as good as a one-turn horse as we have. And nothing easy on the lead here. As you said, Recruiting Ready is a darn fast horse.
Right.
And you're dueling with him. And
I think he goes by us, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, just this, I turning for home here, I thought, well, now
sure.
we're going to find out where we're at.
Right. And you got Catalina Cruiser sitting a dream
right.
trip outside.
And just the fact that he dug deep and held off and came back on Recruiting Ready, I felt, obviously, I would have liked for him to get the win. But,
mm-hmm.
You know, as we were unsaddling, I stressed to our help that by the end of the night, we wanted him to think he won.
Right.
Because he fought hard enough.
Sure.
And we spent all evening, you know, giving him props and,
right.
and taking care of him like he won the race. I wanted the attention to be there like he had.
Right.
So.
Certainly looks like he's, I'm looking at paper now, it looks like he's trained pretty sharply coming into this.
He is. He's training super. He's been doing well. We breezed last week in that heat. That went well. So we're all set. I mean, it's you know, tough sure. spot, and we're realistic about it. But
it's a great
we figure if you're going to take on Mottoli, we'd rather do it with him backing up from a mile
right.
getting now,
seven, getting, eight,
getting
eight
some
pounds.
Weight from him. So we'll take a shot.
From a handicapping perspective, it looks at least on paper like you can be the controlling speed here. Do you have an ideal trip in mind? I know Mottoli's kind of a little sticky spot down there. At the rail, you've shown you've done your best running at least on the lead.
Yeah, I mean he's quick. He's yeah. quick, you know. And if he leaves the gate like he usually does,
right.
he's as quick a horse leaving the gate as there is. So, you know, I'm going to leave that up to Johnny and the game time decision based on the way he breaks. But, you know, I don't know about controlling speed. Mm-hmm. There's other speed
yes.
in the race. You know, Imperial Hint's got Mr. Crow scratched, which was
right.
probably a good thing. Mottoli's certainly capable if
sure.
he breaks sharp of being right there head and head with us. I just don't know if that's the best scenario, you know, being what you perceive as the best horse
right.
in the race, whether he wants to get into that with us.
So right.
I don't think he probably, you know, there's others in there he's got to worry about also.
Could be the start of a big weekend. I think you're very live tomorrow in an absolutely awesome renewal of the Amsterdam. I joke that if this is the prep for the King's Bishop, well, the Alan Jerkins, that's going to be a heck of a race. But Achilles Warrior, we're going to bring up his Monmouth win here, what I thought was a big, big effort, a breakthrough effort. And not only that, but it kind of looks like you're going to trip out pretty nicely here tomorrow yeah. in a race that's, you know, has a lot of speed.
I think so. That's kind of what we wanted to – that's why we wanted to take a shot in here. You know, you win an A other than with these three-year-olds, and you kind of have to go to a stake,
mm-hmm.
or you go against older horses in a two other than, which is a pretty salty spot, especially in Saratoga. But this horse is always trained really well. Ironically, he also had a bit of a breathing mm-hmm. issue that we had to work on last fall, and I think it's taken him a while to get his confidence back, and because he mentally he didn't deal with it as well
right.
as a horse like Strike Power did, but he's come back strong. And you know, I thought that race the other day at Monmouth was excellent.
Is that, you know, you've talked about that now with two horses. You hear about that. Is that something that just rears itself at any given time, or
yes,
how does that develop?
It does, and a lot of times, you know, it starts slow and it can be a gradual process. It used to be that, you know, you waited that when they still have, if they have paralysis, they still have some movement
mm-hmm.
in that arytenoid where they can, if you try and tie it back
mm-hmm.
with sutures, it still has enough strength that it can pull them away.
Okay.
So you have to kind of, you know, the thinking in the past was always that you had to let them get to a point where they were almost completely paralyzed or
right.
80-90% paralyzed. Nowadays, they're getting much more successful than they used to be. So the surgeons, Dr. Patty Hogan did Achilles Warrior, Dr. Madison did Strike Power in Ocala, and both of them have been extremely successful.
Come back better than ever. We actually showed Bourbon War running a big second in the Fountain of Youth. He ran in the Preakness, ran in the Belmont. Didn't go great, but I think I saw you said the other day, here he is here. He's going to be rolling on the outside with Code of Honor sifting through Hidden Scroll, not doing much of anything late. I think I saw the other day where you said in the perfect world, maybe you try that Better Talk Now again. How's he doing? What's going on with Bourbon War?
We gave him some time off after the Belmont. We sent him down to the to Patty Hogan's in New Jersey, and he got out in the grass for 3 weeks and did really well. He's come back here. We've been galloping him, and I was going to breeze him this morning, but with the way the track was yesterday,
yeah.
I decided to put it off a day. He's going to breeze tomorrow morning. We're going to breeze him on the dirt tomorrow, probably like 3/8, and let
okay.
him gallop out a half, and then we intend to bring him back and breeze him on the turf, and just, you know, he seems like he's meant to run
right.
on the turf, so we'll probably breeze him on it, and then if that went well, we would kind of target the Better Talk Now.
A horse like that with a lot of miles underneath him, does it take, I mean, not as long as to get him back?
No, I mean, you know, 3 weeks, he's turned out. He wasn't
right.
stationary in a stall or anything. He was moving around in the paddock and doing well down there. So those horses don't lose a
sure.
lot of fitness. And, you know, that's why I say I could probably go a half with him, but
mm-hmm.
I'm going to go 3/8, especially in light of the way the track's been playing this weekend.
Yeah.
So I don't get him too tired, but
right.
I think he'll handle it well.
And you get to go two turns on turf. Is that kind of imperative for this horse too? Or?
Probably. I mean, and you know, the distance is probably perfect.
Right.
You know, we were always wondering, you know, distance-wise with him. His mother was kind of a turf miler. And I don't think she, Mark Cassie told me she never ran in anything but a graded stake her whole career. Never ran in a maiden race, never ran in anything. So, but she was a really, really solid turf mare. And, you know, it seems like with Bourbon War, as the distances got further, maybe his need for turf got exaggerated.
And in theory, I know racing in the 2019 doesn't work out this way ever, but in theory, you should get some pace going a mile on the turf.
Absolutely.
You would like to think.
Absolutely.
You mentioned Mr. Adam in Cortland Farm. You've had a good run over the years, but I think especially in the last few, things have been really rolling. I see you've got Sonneman.
Yes.
Sonneman today. Paid some money for him, breaking outside. And what I think is, I said to Anthony Mormino when we did the handicappers report, to me it's the first 2 year release of the meet where I said you better remember some names in here. Big pedigree here too on a son of Zardana who beat Rachel Alexandra.
Right, and he's a curlin, which would make you think, you know, we're gonna snappy be looking for more
today.
Ground. But you know, he's for a curlin, he's very athletic, and he's been right there in the bridle all the time. I mean, I think we've schooled him well in and behind horses. He's not the type that's going to be on the lead by any means, but I do think he'll give a good account of himself and come running.
Do you have a lot of two-year-olds up here this year? I know people like to talk about two-year-olds. That's what you think of when Saratoga. You've had success with them up here in the past. Are you excited? Anybody else that's a young horse that might be tearing down the barn or you're looking ready to roll?
I'm excited about quite a few of them.
Okay. Well, you got to give me at least a name or two. I'll leave him without that.
I don't want to jinx them.
All right. We'll just know when they pop up to take note.
And they may not even make Saratoga, all of them, you know, because we're not really –
Well, you're
focused on trying to make,
yeah.
you know, some. I've got a few tappets that are, you know, probably meant to run in the fall.
Right.
And when we get back to Belmont, it's almost a little bit more comfortable.
Yeah, I don't want to say you don't care about winning today, but your program is not here to win five and a half furlong races in July. It's October.
I certainly don't think that like this horse today is five and a half is going to be his distance or. Today's going to be the best race of his life.
I mean, we've talked about already two horses that have had great success over the winter at Gulfstream Park. I mean, this is the start of a progression, and ideally,
right?
You know,
yeah, he's capable, but I don't think that it's going to be his optimal distance ultimately.
You mentioned a couple others when we chatted off the air. Semper Sentiente got a win last time, right?
After running
some big races underneath, finally got the confidence boost last
time. Exactly. It was good to, you know, she's had some good grade two black type, but we wanted to get a win under her belt and build her confidence a little bit, which the River Memories gave us the option to do it. You know, now we're going to run her back in the Weya next weekend, next Sunday, a week from tomorrow. So she's doing super. She breezed here this morning, and she's all set.
Mile and a half, I think, the Weya. Seems like she's that type of filly mare, that galloper.
Yeah, she loves the longer distances. I mean, we've only gotten to do it with her a couple times, but she, at Gulfstream even, she really ran well that day. She just got forced into moving a little prematurely, as Johnny thought, because... somebody moved at the half mile pole and kind of forced our hand, but I think she's going to be pretty effective.
And then you talked about distance. You mentioned Carlino's going to come in the Alley Dar. They can't ride a race far enough for him, right?
Yeah, I mean he needs some pace though.
Sure.
You know, we ran him. You know, he's kind of a tough horse to get a race for. You know, it's almost like you just need to. He ran really well in the Jockey Club Gold Cup last fall. He came out this year. We decided to go ahead and run him in Maryland in the Pimlico Special because it seemed like there was pace. And he finished great. He was flying down the stretch. Last time he didn't get much pace. You know, you'd love to find an easier spot, but I don't know that this is an easier spot. But there is going to be plenty of pace in there.
Wrong town and wrong time of year to find that. Mark Hennig, he's got a legitimate chance to – knocked the king off the pedestal in Mattoli today in the Vanderbilt, Mark. We've got a gift certificate, $100 for Pinnell's. You know where that is.
Sure do. Thank you very much.
Up here. I appreciate you taking the time on a busy Saturday morning. I know how it can be up here at Saratoga, so I appreciate you taking
the
time.
Brian, thank
you. Best of luck today with Strike Power, tomorrow with Achilles Warrior, down the road as well. Mark Hennig stopping by on Saturdays at the Spa. It'll bring us to our second break. When we come back, Danny Gargan's going to be here. We're going to talk tax in the Jim Danny. Stay tuned.
No matter where in the world you are, the excitement of wagering on horse racing is just a click away. You'll get live streaming, past performances, race replays, our virtual tote board, analysis and selections from professional handicappers, a simple, safe, and secure wagering platform, and best of all, you get track prices. CapitalOTBBet.com. Bet any place, anytime at CapitalOTBBet.com. And be sure to download our new mobile app from the iTunes Store or Google Play.
Come on.
I want sales reports on my desk by Monday.
Whoops. My bad.
Love racing? RTN brings you every live simulcast on your home television, plus live video streaming and race replays on your PC and mobile devices. To order, visit RTN.tv. RTN, a breed apart.
Welcome back to Saturdays at the Spa. Brian Natto with you. A big thanks to our first guest, Brad Cox, and then Mark Hennig stopping by, one of our good pals running Strike Power in the Vanderbilt sprinting. My next guest is not going to be sprinting today as he runs tax in the grade two Jim Danny to get us to the Travers. I bring in Danny Gargan. Danny, thank you so much for taking the time Saturdays at the Spa. Big day for you today.
Well, thank you for having me.
Tax. Coming in off a very underrated, I think, fourth in the Belmont. We talked off the air, training very well, and what looks like a tough Jim Danny.
It's a really solid field. I mean, I think it's the best three-year-old race since the Derby. You know, Mott's horse, he's a really good horse.
Sure.
He's beat me a couple times, and, you know, I think my horse is improving right now. His work was really, really good here the other day, and he's doing good here.
I want to kind of go back to the beginning because you claim the source for $50,000 from Claiborne, and in Kentucky, you know, you're not necessarily a Kentucky guy. You're pretty much in New York a lot. What turned you on to tax early on that said, I want to take a shot at this horse?
Well, I watched his race when he ran at Churchill, and he was sprinting. He's a big, good-looking horse on the TV. And I just put him in my stable after that race, thinking I was claiming a horse that wanted to run long on the grass if sprinted on the dirt. And then when I got him, his first work, he worked good, but then he got locked in behind some company in New York, and he worked spectacular one day, and that's when we took a shot and supplemented him and ran him in the Remsen.
So the first start, as you mentioned, so you supplement to the Remsen off a $50,000 maiden claiming win at Keeneland, and at the time, you know, Maximus Mischief was certainly one of the ones in the two-year-old ranks. Did you have any idea? Obviously, you liked the horse. You wouldn't have done that if not, but a big third. I mean, going a mile and an eighth.
Well, we tried to win the race. I thought if we could get in front of Maximus, we could beat him because he'd never been collared. But we couldn't get in front of him. We chased him, and we should have been second.
Okay.
But that cost us second that day. We were real aggressive, but and that horse was really good at the time. I mean, he was a nice horse.
Yeah, I think a lot of people thought
we ran huge that day to put that much heat on him.
Right. Took the New York path to the Kentucky Derby. So you win the Withers. We're going to bring up the Wood Memorial. I felt, as a handicapper, I picked you guys second in the Kentucky Derby. So I felt, as a handicapper, you ran every bit as good, if not better, than Tacitus in the Wood Memorial. You're doing all the dirty work.
Uh-huh.
You're on the hard chase. You make first run, and you refuse to let Tacitus by. Talk a little bit about this effort in the Wood Memorial.
I mean, he was doing good this day. You know, he was as good as today right there. I mean, he was doing tremendous going into this race. And, you know, I was really unfortunate that, you know, we didn't win. I think if the 7 wouldn't have been in the race, we'd have won the race.
Yeah.
But because we had him kind of got checked
there. A little there. Bump there, too.
Yeah.
Bumping.
He got bumped. It was, yeah, he always had a little – but he ran hard. And like you said, Texas is a really good horse, big, strong animal. And then the Derby, we went to the Derby, and the track was really bad that day. They didn't seal it. I thought when we came back out, it'd be a sealed track. So I told Junior, they're going to seal this track. It's bad out there. I said, the rail will be good if they seal it. And he broke, got next, you know, everybody got in a scramble, and he got checked out of there, and then he's nowhere on a dead flat rail. And that was just kind of a throwout race, and then we brought him back and gave him some time in between. And we put glue-ons on him for the right before the Belmont, and that really turned him around.
We're going to bring up the Belmont, too. You know, it's tough. You mentioned turn him around. I mean, you're 15th in the Derby. Here he is in the Belmont. It's tough to just come right back to battle and get a good run, but boy, he delivered in the Belmont. He ran huge.
He ran really big. I was really proud of this race. I mean, he's got a lot of – he tries really hard. He does a lot of things that, you know, you wouldn't expect him to be able to get to do, but he wants to be up close.
Sure.
The rail was golden. We're three wide the whole race. And if you see, the one stayed on the rail. The 7's on the rail the whole way. It was a golden rail. I think if I was on the rail, I'd have been second.
Mm-hmm.
Being 3 or 4 wide all the way around both turns is a little disadvantage at Belmont on this day. And Mott's horse even took more of the worst of that.
Yeah, wide.
But, you know, we're going to sit probably second today, and we will be on the rail.
Well, that was my question. It looks like it's a tight, compact field here in the Jim Dandy. It looks like, at least on paper, Global Campaign should be the controlling speed, or at least the speed. You have a trip in mind? Like you said,
well, I'm aggressive, so I'm coming out running.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to have to go.
Okay.
You know, he's not going to bounce out there in 48 and change.
Right.
He's going to have to, when he comes in that first turn, he's going to be wide, or he's going to have to run. Because I'm coming out. I'm taking the rail and sitting on it.
Right. Okay.
So,
you're not giving anything away, and you got IRAD. I mean,
yeah, we're going to come out of there running, and so he's going to have to come out running too.
How do you know, winning the Jim Dandy in and of itself is a significant accomplishment, but then, you know, the big race is 4 weeks away. How do you kind of toe that line a little bit? You know, obviously you want to run the Travers, right?
Yeah. I mean that's the goal is the Travers. He's doing really well right now. He's eating good. He's doing good. We wanted to, you know, Randy loves the Jim Dandy, and I told him after he came out of the Belmont, he came out of it really well, wanted to take a chance and see if we could win the Jim Dandy. And I think whoever wins this race is going to be the favorite in the Travers.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Race over the track, sure.
Yeah, race over the track, and whoever wins this is going to be the favorite for the Travers, and they should be. So we'll take this and see how it plays, and then if he comes back out of it good, we'll go to the Travers. If not, we'll find another option.
He's been up here for a few weeks. We looked at July 20th work. Looks like it jumps off the page. I mean, seems to be handling things pretty nicely up here.
Yeah, he loves it here. The cool weather. He's getting over the track really well. I think this track's going to play to his favor, too, a little bit, because it's more of a speed-type surface.
Yeah, you want to be close.
Yeah, you want to be up close. You don't want to be way back. And I think the track will help him a little, hopefully. He worked great on it.
You've been up here for a while now. Do you notice horses coming up here that they just something about this place? They seem to.
Well, it's Saratoga.
Yeah.
You know, the weather's better.
Right.
You know, it's not humid.
Right.
You know, you wake up in the morning, it's 60 degrees. You know, it warms up in the afternoon, but it really gives the horses a chance to sleep at night and rest up.
We talked a little bit off the air, but the fourth race today, I said it looks like to me, I said this to Anthony Mormino earlier today on the Handicappers Report, that it's, to me, it's the first kind of real tiger race at Saratoga, the two-year-olds.
Well,
we've seen some good ones, but it looks like
there's some serious racehorses, as they say, in this race. And like I said, I think you're going to see a whoever wins this, or horses that run 1, 2, 3, that you'll see them in the Breeders' Cup.
Yeah, you've got always
these are racehorses.
Behaving.
Yeah.
I mean, paid $300,000 for him as a two-year-old in training.
He's a really nice into mischief colt. He had a really good work here the other day. And he's doing really well. I don't know if 5.5 is going to be his thing, but he's doing good.
Expensive son of Into Mischief. What kind of tipped him off early as a two-year-old in training, or what you saw?
You know, it was kind of weird. I got lucky to buy him. He should have cost a lot more money.
Mm-hmm.
He shied from something on the rail, and a friend of mine was selling him. And I watched him train at the farm several times before the sale. And I really, really liked him. And they thought he was going to cost $600,000-$700,000. Mm-hmm. But he shied from something on the inside and kind of did this, so it didn't gallop out as fast as they thought he was going to, and that's probably the reason I was able to afford him.
I see you've got Kendrick Carmouche on. Speed guy. Does your horse have speed or what?
He's fast, but he's not a he's not all speed. He'll probably we're not going to gun him. It's his first start. We're going to let him break, get a good position. You know, our horses break usually really well, so hopefully we break good. I like to be sitting third or fourth and let him run home. If he wins, he wins. If he's second, he's today's just a start.
It's a start. Yeah,
I think he has a bright future though.
Good start for you to the meet too.
Yeah,
the horses have been running.
I mean, knock on wood.
Anyone else?
Now, we've been a little unfortunate lately with the weather. Everybody's lost races and cancellations and things like that. Races not filling has been a little tough on some of us. So, I come up here to have a good meet, and so far we are.
Active in the claim box up here as well. Always keeping your eyes open.
Well, I've claimed one. I've dropped on a couple. Not as much as I don't claim.
Your stock is developing, right?
We have a lot of 2-year-olds this year, so install space, and it's not been as much. I'll probably claim 10 horses before the meet's over, just because it'll end up happening. But not as much. We have a few good 2-year-olds. I have a 2-year-old filly that I really like that's going to run in, hopefully in the next book.
Yeah, do you have any? That was my next question. You got a nice one today. Do you have any names for us as we move on down the meet?
I've got a filly named Astoria Kitten that I think is a special horse.
Okay.
She's a New York bred, but I think she could be any kind of horse.
How many do you have up here?
We have 30 here.
Okay.
And I think 20 in Belmont.
And so back and forth?
Yeah. Rotating them around.
Right. And then will you go back to Belmont?
I'll go to Belmont for the fall.
Right, pretty much.
I'll try to take them all there if they'll let me. Stall space. And then, we'll ship a few to Kentucky Downs.
Okay.
Things like that, a handful back to Kentucky to run. Right. But I'll focus on New York in the fall.
Yeah. All right, Danny Gargan, he's got tax today. Very live in the gym, Danny. Danny, I want to give you, I appreciate you coming by, $100 gift certificate for Jacob and Anthony's right in town.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, appreciate it. Here we go here, 38 High Rock, good food, a couple cocktails at the bar. I know how tough it is for guys to get over here on a Saturday morning, so I really appreciate you.
Well, thank you so much.
Danny Gargan, he's got tax in the gym, Dandy. A big second in the Wood Memorial to Tacitus. He's got to face him again as we move towards the Travers in I can't believe I'm saying it, 4 weeks' time. So a special thanks to start Brad Cox, Mark Hennig was here, Danny Gargan. It's going to bring us to our final break here on Saturdays at the Spa. When we come back, PTF, Peter Thomas Fornatale, is going to join us real quickly. He's got a fundraiser that OTB's involved with. We'll talk a little shop as well. Stay tuned. Saturdays at the Spa.
Series.
To win one of these challenge series is a way that we kind of map out our schedule throughout the year with our horses.
If you win one of the challenge races, you have a very good horse.
The King George, which is our winning ring race, provides the top middle distance horse in Europe. We saw Highland Reel run in both races.
We know when we show up at the Breeders' Cup, we've got the world to beat, not just everybody in the United States. Breeders' Cup Challenge, win, and you're in.
Welcome back to
my
Saturdays
right.
at the Spa. Brian Natto back with you. Again, a very special thanks. Was on early. Appreciate him stopping by. He's been great. He's loaded up here this summer. He's loaded everywhere. Mark Hennig, one of our good buddies, and likes to help us out on this program quite a bit. And it was cool to get Danny Gargan on, too. I hadn't had the pleasure of talking to him. He's really... kind of elevated his stock and tax in the Jim Dandy is kind of a testament to that. I think he's definitely got a puncher's chance. And I bring in my good buddy, PTF, Peter Thomas Fornatale. Always got something in the works up here at Saratoga. First of all, we've got a couple minutes. First of all, obviously you had some good success with the forum doing the tournament podcast and those kind of things. Talk about what you're doing now as you morph into another phase.
It's a whole new role. I mean, we thank the DRF for the opportunity to get going and spread our wings with the podcast, but the podcast has taken on a life of its own. It's now the In the Money Players podcast. Right. We started independent at the beginning of the year. We're doing two shows a week under that banner.
And we is you and Jonathan.
Jonathan Kinchin, JK. You see him on Fox Sports. I'm sure he'll be on with you at some point, my usual co-host. And it's great. We preview races. We review races. You can cram them in. You listen on 1.5 or 2 times speed. You can, you know, we sound like chipmunks, but you get a chance to you get the whole show, a whole racing preview and or review in 30 minutes. We've got a breeding and sales show as well called the In the Ring Pedigree Podcast, and then we're doing stuff for our friends at NYRUP. So it's been busy. It's been great. Lots of industry support. And working on some fun projects with the likes of Capital OTB as well.
We're going to get to that in a quick second. I kind of lump you in a little bit. I've been fortunate to become very good friends with Bob Neumeier over the years. And Bob is a guy that you see him on TV, and, you know, he's making his $20 exacta boxes with Mike Battaglia. But Bob is as sharp as, I didn't even realize this personally, as sharp as anyone in this sport. And you as well. You do the work. You have an opinion. I want to get anything you want to throw out there today, because you're very, you know, you're not just doing podcasts and this and that. You're firing. You have opinions. You're putting the work in.
Absolutely.
Give me something. Give somebody something today that might tip your hand a little bit.
Well, the trick with today is I really want to see what this racetrack is doing, because yesterday was a track I've not ever really seen at Saratoga. We're not just talking about a rail that was dead. We're talking about a track where it seemed like the later and wider you move, the better off you were.
There was standing water after the finale yesterday. I mean, it hadn't rained in 27 hours. It was crazy.
Well, this is what happened. That storm was so freaky. It's not any criticism of the track people.
It is what it is.
When it comes that quick and you don't have a chance to seal it, it's very easy to lose / have a lot of trouble with the track. So this is my way of hemming and hawing and saying it's hard for me to nail anything down that I really want to commit to before we see what's going on. But forced to give my hand, I'll go to the turf, I'll go to the bowling green, and I'll go to Channel Maker.
Yeah, he just looks like the best horse.
We're not going to get a huge price, but I think we're going to get an overlaid price. Because we have this horse who's really come into hand. I thought the last race was better than it looked. I think he's just better than these, not having to deal with the monster bricks and mortar, getting to go against the Chad Brown B team. The Chad Brown B team is still going to take a whole lot of money.
Right.
I think we still might get 3-1, 7-2, 4-1. Maybe it's a big full field, a tricky race, but I'm going to pin my colors there for the Bowling Green, and we'll see what this track does. Let's keep an eye out and see if we can figure out what's happening.
I do have him on top, and I agree with everything you said. He's just a better horse. Stretching out is going to help him too. The reason you are here, though, you've got some Tuesday night, I believe. You said you partnered a little bit with OTB. Talk about what's going on Tuesday night and charity and benefiting is always at the top of the list. What's going on Tuesday night?
For sure. Lots of good charity events happen up here during Saratoga. Our charitable partner, actually the first partner we secured for the In the Money Players podcast when we went independent, was the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation. Mm-hmm. And we're very happy to team with the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation, Capital OTB, and Hattie's, and of the other partner providing the venue, the Racing City Brewery over on Excelsior Ave.
I was there last night. Oh. Very, you and I have been known to have a pint or nine.
Us?
And very, very good. Highly recommended. So
that's good to know, because I've yet to really fully sample the beer, but I will Tuesday night. That group of partners, basically, you pay $20. The charity's going to get half of it. The rest of it's going to cover a bowl of Hattie's gumbo and a beer. The event is hashtag gumbo for horses. You see the list, the URL right there on the screen. I can even point down at it. I love that trick. TRFinc.org/players. And hey, if you can't make it out to the event, you can still donate through that link to TRF and the great work they do. But this one, we're hoping we're going to see some nice Capital OTB representation. I don't know what your plans are Tuesday. Fantastic.
I will be there.
And we'll hope it's not one of those nights that have been known to happen up here where it gets away from us a little bit.
That's our line. It gets away from us a little bit. There's been many singing to Bob Dylan on a record player at the top of the lungs over there on the other side of town. But yeah, like you mentioned, a great cause. So hopefully everybody turns out, and you know, Hattie's is second to none, as we know. You get a pop or two with that as well. And like I said, I was there last night with our friend Dan Collins. Was nice enough to invite us over at Bonaventure Stable.
Sure.
So I checked it out the other night. It was a really cool venue, a big, expansive kind of place. They do a good job. TV's there, so if you want to fire some nighttime, some racing, it's highly recommended. So
absolutely. Just because it's Tuesday doesn't mean we can't find a place to have a bet. Capital OTB will take your
wagers. That would be one of the nights you should be. You should be.
What'll we have Tuesday night? Do you know the schedule? I've been running around enough that I don't have it memorized at like some years. Is it Mountaineer?
Yeah. What time will it go to?
Five to eight.
5 to 8. Okay. Yeah. So perfect. So you can still be in at a respectable hour Wednesday racing as well. Not that ever stopped any of us anyway. So Peter Thomas for Natal, I'm glad we could sneak you on.
I appreciate it.
We talked yesterday, and I felt bad for putting you on the back burner, but I said I got, you know, Danny Gargan's coming on, you're out.
You so bumped me for some good people. I think I've been bumped for David O'Rourke and Danny Gargan. I'll take that.
That is true, and Dave O'Rourke was great as well, and we always appreciate the Naira guys making the time. As you know, I don't need to tell you this, but as you know, it's tough to get over here. You were doing your own thing. I mean, your window is 10:45, I believe.
That's right. We do a podcast. We do a live show 9:30 over the other side. But you know what? If you're watching here, you don't need to worry about coming to that live. You can also just listen to our Naira show through the In the Money Players podcast feed. Check us out.
We'll get you on at a proper time.
I love it.
To scuff up some form here. Peter Thomas for Natal, like I said, hope to see you on Tuesday night over at the Racing City Brewery. There it is on the screen right there for a great cause. Brian the truck, thanks for putting that together, and Mick as well for all the things they do, and back at the mothership as well. It's going to bring us to an end. Third Saturday here at Saratoga.
It
is amazing. It is going quick. A special thanks Brad Cox, as I mentioned, Mark Hennig, Danny Gargan, and Peter Thomas for Natal. It's going to wrap it for me. Get out here today, folks. It's a great day. It's a great card. No excuse not to get here. Good luck. I will see you next Saturday.
You've been watching Saturdays at the Spa with Brian Natow. Saturdays at the Spa has been brought to you by CapitalOTBBet.com, New York's premier wagering site. CapitalOTBBet.com. Sign up today. The new Capital Mobile app. Wager anywhere, anytime. Download it free from the iTunes Store or Google Play. And Pinnell's Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, just minutes from the track.